Let's express a little appreciation to Doug for his leadership and the choir for their wonderful work. Pray with me. Now into these moments, O God, we seek the work of your Spirit. Call and claim us, stir us as your believers. And in all that we would do and share and say, you might receive honor and glory. And as we walk with you in that path of faith, keep us steadfast to the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, to the holy power that is among us, and the good news of our risen Savior that sets us free. For it's in Jesus' most holy name that we pray. Amen. This morning we continue in our series of resurrection power, this time in which you and I know that the gift of Jesus Christ moves far beyond a one Sunday celebration. It centers us into the time and moments when God can release us from those burdens and difficulties of life and call us into resurrection hope. This morning, we will center on what it means to have our chains broken, to have our chains gone, and allow our lives and spiritual hope to be set free. This morning, I want to introduce you to a friend who I'll call James, part of a ministry that occurred in Ross County area outside the Chillicothe Correctional Institute in the Ross County Correctional Center was a ministry known as Kairos. It's a prison ministry similar to the Walk to Emmaus. Individuals are invited to join in a weekend experience while they're incarcerated and to hear the good news and gift of the gospel. The team prepares themselves on the outside, and they do the work of preparation and of prayer. And then they go through that hardship moment of walking into an institution that you hear the sounds of the doors closing behind you, and you recognize that the words of the psalmist aren't just casual, sort of poetic language. When it promises that God will break the doors of bronze and shatter the bars of iron, you'll understand why the gospel message must be shared, even in places like that. Well, James was invited to attend this weekend, and James was not a compliant personality. James arrived on that weekend, and he was pretty disrespectful to the people that had come. He didn't participate well. He only found that much of what they said seemed to be nothing that he needed. Kairos Ministry seeks to try and offer the grace of Jesus Christ in a variety of opportunities, but one tangible method is through cookies. Has anybody baked cookies for Kairos? I know there's a couple of you. Anybody else? A couple of you have baked them. So now that you saw who's baked them, you can go talk to them about it. And this isn't a threat. It's a promise. There'll be a chance for you, church, to bake them someday. Because Kairos cookies have to be baked a special way. They're just not ordinary cookies. You can't necessarily put raisins in them or chocolate chips. They got to go through scanners. They can't have nuts in them. They have to be certain kinds of cookies. And through that description, they pass through metal detectors and other things to get into the institution. Now, the church that I served had a fellowship hall where the cookies were being collected over the countywide areas that were being invited to bring them. And the space was about this size. Tables lined the room, and so did bags of cookies. It was unbelievable if you could imagine this space filled with dozen-gallon bags of cookies, all to be delivered to James and his friends there as that weekend unfolded. Now, again, James is one of those difficult personalities that maybe are like you and I. Is there anybody here that could relate to the words of the psalmist when the psalmist said, "I sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in misery and in iron"? Oh, I think many of you have experienced chains of bondage. If you were paying close attention to our Easter prayer, there was a litany of moments out of which all of us have experienced what it means to sit in doom and despair. You don't have to be incarcerated to have that experience. Life, when we least expect it, turns us upside down. You and I find ourselves, after a conversation with a doctor or the lawyer or wherever we are, we discover we are in darkness and gloom. You see, these moments of human relationship are very common to all of us. The psalmist pleads that you and I might know that we're not unique and alone in that experience of misery. And yet out of it, the psalmist gives us certain directions on how we can make our chains gone. Chains disappear, according to the psalmist, if you and I listen first to the Word of God. Verse 11, and the psalmist said, they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Have you practiced regularly a reading discipline of this book? Or is it just merely a scholastic study book? Is it just something you touch with from time to time to justify your life and behavior rather than experience its freedom? Maybe if you've not started yet, you'll just simply put that app on your phone or your computer and have the daily scripture passage show up. You don't have to be a big reader. You could just get the one verse of the day to at least start to experience this Word of God that the psalmist mentions. For one of the ways that you and I find the release of God's power and presence, it's through that Word of God. It allows you to expand into those moments, and I don't know how it works, I only know that it works. That when I read Scripture and I encounter it someplace in the course of my day, there will be an intersection between that Word that I read and my life experience. Whether it's a Scripture I need to share with somebody, or whether it's a scripture I simply need to hear myself. God's counsel is there. And maybe you're like me at times. I only like to read the parts of this book I like. Those that are easier to understand rather than the hard ones. That's why I think the counsel of God even moves us into difficult places of Scripture, so that we can hear God's Word and not spend so much time trying to discern it, dissect it, or understand it, but merely to be engaged by it. Let it live in our hearts. You know, James, as he was going in and out of these weekend meetings, he was allowing that Word of God to be planted in his heart, even though he was being rebellious about it and trying to avoid it at all cost. The cookies kept coming, and the invitation to experience God's grace, to be free, not to be judged, not to be shamed, not to be singled out. There came one part of that weekend experience where they were going around the room and they were sharing one of the reasons why they were in as residents of this facility. I'll refer to them as residents, not inmates, because that term inmate almost implies a demeaning level. You and I would recognize out of 1 John, you know that he was revealed to take away sin. And in him there is no sin. No one abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Have you ever let your sin blind you from why Christ was revealed? Why did the resurrection power need to come through the cross after all? Couldn't God just send a pardon? Couldn't he just release us? As James was listening to the story around the room, he recognized in that room he was only the only one that was a repeat offender. He'd already been given one chance to get back out on the outside again. And unfortunately, because he had committed a felony, he wasn't high on the employment list. He didn't have opportunities to succeed when he was released. And ultimately, he fell back into those common patterns which were unhealthy. Till ultimately and tragically, James would take the life of someone to deal with his sinful behavior. To recognize that Christ came to take those sins away was that sobering moment for James. Should it not be sobering for you and me? Maybe we think it's only for folks like that Christ actually came. None of us have done anything so serious that would require his life for ours. And yet we recognize that as 1 John was penned to the church, he shared in another place where if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, the cross of Christ is a pretty level playing field. Individuals like James stand even with you and me. You and me, at times, might not even think our life was serious enough, and we're still trying to figure out how we can bribe and barter God to forgive us some little mistake. The power of the resurrection, our chains are broken and gone because of that death and resurrection of Jesus, not because of our good intentions or our noble aspirations. You and I stand equal in that circle, and our shame is taken away. James got another bag of cookies that night, and he went back home, and he continued to marvel at all that God had done for us. Did you not hear what the psalmist said? And they will thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. One of the ways that we allow our chains to go is that we give thanks to that steadfast love of God. We do not create for ourselves systems that won't capture us or won't enslave us. For even our best intentions leave us at the foot of the cross. And finally, in that Kairos weekend, there came the point when two bags of cookies were given to each participant. And the speaker challenged them, as you've been receiving God's grace this whole weekend, I want you to take that other bag of cookies. And I want you to go into this institution and find that one person that you have the greatest difficulty with. And I want you to give them those cookies and God's love. Well, this is necessarily a problem for James because he was one of the rival gang leaders inside that institution. He'd already had difficulty with several of those, because chains for them were often things that they used to fight with and to bind with. not to heal with. So James took those cookies and he went to the rival gang leader and he gave them to him. One of the amazing testimonies of that season in that institution, there was a calm and a peace because those two rival gang leaders came to understand the power of the resurrection. Our chains are broken and they are gone. Hear how the psalmist says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. This wasn't some human exercise of kindness and care. This is the redemptive power of Christ and the gift of the cross. God's salvation doesn't just heal us. It introduces us to the healer. We don't just get saved. We discover the Savior. This power of the cross of Jesus and the gift of the resurrection comes to break and shatter everything. Because if your prayer life has not been one that cries out to God, you'll not understand what the psalmist is saying. This isn't a neat little prayer journal that lists all the top 10 things God needs to fix for you this week. This is where you're crying out with him with tears when words no longer fit. This is when you know you have no other help than the one who has come by the power to overcome death. For when the tears flow and the chaos seems to mount and there is little hope, that's when our chains are gone and the Spirit intercedes for us with cries and deep moans too great for words. You and I are invited to know in this resurrection season power that our chains are broken. I don't know if James will ever have his sentence reduced and be released again. But I have the greatest joy in knowing that through the ministry of the gospel, even when he is in prison, his chains are gone. I have the same confidence today, friends, that because of the gift of Jesus Christ, even when we're confronted with those most grave moments of anguish and despair, even when there are but tears, there is a Savior who has taken away our chains. For he shatters the door of the bronze and he cuts in two the bars of iron. Our chains are broken. We've been set free. Thanks be to God for the gift of salvation.